You may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil.
Welcome to Rock Power. Rock Power is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are located just west of Fluor Drive on the corner of Southwest 30th and Park Avenue. This ministry is dedicated to the proposition that the Bible is God speaking to you, that God never changes, that the Holy Spirit never changes, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that there is only one church and one church age, and that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And as He, Jesus, is, so are we in the world. Since God never changes, and Jesus never changes, the Holy Spirit never changes, the Word of God never changes, His plans and purposes never change, and since we are still the church, then we, the people who make up the church, are in need of revival, because the world is in desperate need to see the manifestation of the sons of God. The purpose of the Rock Power program is to stir up the church towards repentance and revival. Today we're going to be talking about John 3:16. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The title of our study is God Still Loves the World. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. God so loves the world. And I'm concerned that Christians think of that in the past tense. We've got to come to the realization that God didn't just love the world. God loves the world. God loves people. God doesn't just love you. God just doesn't love us. God loves people. So in this series of lessons, we're looking at 8 reasons why the church is not winning souls, not loving the world and winning souls as we ought to. Jesus came to seek them for God. God is the one who lost them. Are you following me? The church has turned that around and we think it's all about man. It's not about man. Man doesn't even know he's lost. Man doesn't even care that he's lost. Tell the Spirit of God and the Word of God awaken him and tell him. How many of you have ever been driving down the road and you see a dog and the dog runs out in the street and runs back and, you know, you can tell the dog's lost. But man doesn't know he's lost. Man thinks he's God. Man said, how can I be lost? I'm God. Jesus came to redeem man, not just for man, because man belonged to God. You know, years ago, maybe some of you know, here a testimony is, and she gave it in church one Mother's Day. And her testimony is that she was born and raised in the Ukraine of a Ukrainian mother and a Greek father. World War II broke out. Or they were caught between Stalin and Hitler, Iraq and a hard place. And they were fleeing. And for some reason, the father fled first, and he was going to send for them. He was never seen again. Kira was about 18 years old. And then she and her mother realized the father's not coming back, and they left for Greece and were captured by the Germans, and she was placed in a work camp, never saw her mother again, survived the war, eventually came to America, and in the mid-60s, she got a call from the Red Cross, said, are you, whatever her Ukrainian name was. She said, yes, said, well, your mother's been looking for you for 20 years. Your mother's alive, she's in Russia. And she's been searching for you for 20 years. We finally tracked you down. And what Kira said was, I looked for my mother for a year or two, but my mother looked for me for 20. How much more God? You see, now that brings tears to your heart. You see, we don't think God has tears, but God has tears. God has a heart. God has emotion. God has lost his children. You know, my daughter was in a play. It was about something very similar, only they were Jews. She played the mother. And, you know, the Nazis were killing off the Jews. And at first, you know, people don't realize at first, when all this killing and first started in Germany, Jews were free to leave. Any Jew could leave Germany. The problem was nobody wanted them. Nobody, when you leave, you got to go somewhere. And nobody, including America, wanted them. So they had to stay. A few escaped that had connections. And then eventually, England agreed to take children. No adults. We don't want any adult Jews. And so many thousands of Germans put their children in boxcars, many thousands of Jewish Germans,
put their children in boxcars, and they were sealed so none could escape, and they sent them to England. Just saw this the very same in a documentary on PBS. Not all those parents died. Millions died, but thousands didn't die. And they came after the war to find their children, and in many cases, their children said, "We don't know you, and we don't want you," and they didn't go with them. In many cases, 5, 6, 7 short years. And their children, when they came to get them, did not want to go with them. But the parents tried everything to get their children. I couldn't stop crying. But God has lost, not one, not two, billions of children that God created. The Bible says they were formed. He formed them in their mother's womb. And he's lost them. There are theologians that say, you know, well, God doesn't have emotions. They say, you know, when the Bible gives God emotions, it's just trying so that we can understand God. We are created in His image, in His likeness, and we have emotions, and God had emotions, Jesus had emotions, the Holy Ghost has emotions. God was so emotionless that He sent Jesus. Don't think so. God had no feeling, so He sent Jesus. Doesn't work that way, does it? He loves. His heart was and is rended when he thinks about the lost. You see, it's the love of God that sent Jesus. Do you know what God really wants? Think about the first commandment. God just wants us to love him. God just wants to be loved. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. God just wants what every father wants. He wants to be loved, and he wants fellowship with his children. He wants the love of his family. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? He said, "You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." All over the world today, this morning, there's millions of people honoring God with their lips, but many hearts are far from him. Isaiah said, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me." The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib. God is grieved by the loss of his family, and we need to help God get his family back for his sake. Job 34:14 says this, "If God set his heart upon himself, if he gathered into himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish, and man would return to dust." Think about that. If God was selfish like man, man would cease to exist. If he set his heart upon himself, yet every lost person's heart is set upon themselves. People's hearts are set upon themselves. And if we don't watch it, our hearts get set
upon ourselves.
The Bible says, be imitators of God. Thank God, God doesn't imitate us. Numbers 14:11. The children of Israel rebelled. They refused to go into the promised land after God delivered them out of bondage. And God said to Moses, and Jehovah said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me?" Now that's a strong word. If God has no emotions, he wouldn't use words like that. He said, "How long will this people despise me?" That's a literal meaning. Some translate it, "reject me." Another, "treat me with contempt." Another, "spurn me, reject me." The Message Bible in his way says, "treat me like dirt." Now that sounds to me like God felt rejection. If you said they treated me like dirt, that means you felt like they treated you like dirt. That means you were speaking your emotions. Genesis 6:6, it says, "It repented Jehovah that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Emotion. God is grieved. This salvation thing's not about man, it's about God. And when they refused to go in, and Jesus said, or God said, "How long will this people despise me, reject me, treat me like dirt?" Moses prayed and said, don't destroy them. In verse 20, the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word. Jesus came to reveal that God is a loving Father. Very few people in the Old Testament had that revelation. But the Lord said to Moses, "I've pardoned them according to your word." And then he said, "But as surely as I live, the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord." What does that mean? You see, when the children of Israel refused to go into the promised land, that prevented the glory of God from going into the promised land, because God works through people. What is the glory of God? You know, Moses prayed and he said, "God, let me see your glory." They all saw this cloud. There was a cloud by day and fire by night. That's a visible representation that God is present. They call it the Shekinah glory of God. And God answered him and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of Jehovah. And when it was fulfilled, it says, and Jehovah put him in the cleft of a rock, and Jehovah passed by before him and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. That's his glory is his love. His glory is his goodness. God said, the earth shall be filled with the goodness of God. We need to take the love of God. We cringe when people use the Lord's name in vain. And really, we cringe because of what we feel like they've offended us. We don't really even think about the offense to our Heavenly Father. We need to begin to consider God. Jeremiah 4:3 says, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. That was His people. And if you remember, they were rebellious. They were hard-hearted. They were not walking with God, and calamity was about to fall. And calamity is not far off the floor in America. Calamity is on its way down. And what did he say they should do? Now, they didn't do it, but had they done it, Jerusalem wouldn't have been lost. He said, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. See, that's where Jesus was talking about the parable of the seed and the sower. He said, break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that was once plowed and put into production, and now it's no longer used. It's not what we would call virgin prairie. It's not land that had never been tilled and was never produced. It's land that had produced and now was not being used. Fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, our ground, by the Holy Ghost. But if you think about the parable of the seed and the sower, what if that love was shed on the hard ground? Or what if that love was shed among the thorns? Doesn't produce. We need to break up our fallow ground so that the love of God will grow. How do you do that? You're doing it this morning. We're breaking up the fallow ground. We're plowing. We're running a plow through the hard hearts. We're setting our affections on things above. We're thinking about God. We're getting our mind off of ourselves. We're turning our attention and our affection towards heaven so that the love of God can grow, produce. Same thing when he said, cast away from you all your transgressions and make you a new heart.
Put on the full armor of God.
If this message has helped you, awakened you, alarmed you, or blessed you, and you want to share that with us, you can email us at rockpchurch@aol.com. Or write to us at Rock Power Church, 3119 Southwest 30th Street, Des Moines, Iowa, 50321. Or come see us Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., or Friday evening at 6:30 p.m.
Put on the